You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky rolling butter smooth into Thursday's episode. A lot of things, Andy, we want to get into, except I want to tell you first that today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Moment segment coming up later in the episode. Andy, so there's some Olympics news regarding LeBron that we will be getting into. We want to take a peek into the just catastrophically bad press conference that took place in Portland earlier this week for the announcement of Chauncey Billups's hiring.
To put it in perspective, Brian, just how bad a press conference it was for Portland on Tuesday. You may recall when the Lakers introduced Frank Vogel, that thing was a farcical train wreck bleep show because everybody was there to ask questions of Rob Pelinka, none to Frank Vogel. And comparatively, they crushed that thing.
Absolutely.
Compared to what happened in Portland.
It just what we saw, and we'll get into it, you know, before the end of the show. What we saw there, not only was just a bad performance, it was a real misunderstanding of certain, you know, things that are certain realities of today that teams have to understand, not just about sexual assault allegations or serious things like that, but just about what is and what isn't important anymore, and the accountability that teams and the standard that they're going to be held to. So we'll get to that. But first, Andy, the big news of Wednesday was the Lakers bringing in David Fizdale. Woj at ESPN, I believe, was the first to report that David Fizdale, former Miami assistant, former head coach in Memphis and in New York, will be joining Frank Vogel's staff to fill the space left by Jason Kidd, who's now, of course, the head coach in Dallas. Overall, we're talking about a guy who had a lot of suitors. I think it was Mark Spears at ESPN reported that he turned down, Fizdale did, more money to come to L.A. Indiana was willing to give him more money to join. That's where Carlisle landed, joined that staff. But Fizdale, L.A. guy, wanted to work again with LeBron. They did that together in Miami with obviously a lot of success. He decided to choose the Lakers. What were your kind of immediate reactions when you saw the news?
Just that when I was starting to, you know, do some research on Fizdale again, he's somebody who has commanded a lot of respect around the NBA for like the last 10 to 15 years. But just in going back and seeing some of the stuff that was written about him, or, you know, write-ups from people like Kevin Arnovitz, who, by the way, is a must-read every offseason. He comes out with a piece about coaching candidates. It's always just an incredible breakdown. I'm not saying this just because he's our friend. It's terrific. He's known David Fizdale as just an all-world communicator. Like that is one of the things that you hear about him from all these different stops, that he's just an incredible basketball mind who communicates his mind extremely well. And he forges really strong relationships. Oh, we're going to get into one that wasn't as good, but whether you're talking about with LeBron, with Dwayne Wade, I saw Chris Bosh on ESPN, I believe on The Jump with Rachel Nichols, talking about David Fizdale, Udonis Haslem, like a lot of guys. I thought it was really interesting how many guys from Miami loved him, because that is an organization, as much as any in the NBA, that values culture. And it sounded like David Fizdale was a really important part of that.
Right. And look, before we get to this sort of and we've talked a lot about an offensive coach and all this other stuff, and we'll get to that in a second. Some of the other qualities that Jason Kidd brought to that Lakers coaching staff, regardless of what you think of him and whether he should have been hired and all that, setting that aside for a minute, you know, the relationship with LeBron James, the value as a respected guy, you know, played the game, can communicate that way, and, you know, had that kind of gravitas in the locker room. Those things are important. You do want assistant coaches that can be, I don't know, intermediaries when it's necessary, can communicate the needs and the values of the head coach and do all that stuff and do that effectively, if you will. And, you know, Fizdale is as good as anybody in the league with that. I think, you know, some people will look at his record as a head coach and look, he had he had two ultimately disappointing stints. First with Memphis, where the first season was good, and the second season didn't make it through. He was canned pretty early in that. New York, terrible team, rebuilding quickly, had a terrible first season, and again, canned relatively quickly in the second one. So, but to be perfectly honest, Andy, his success or failure as a head coach doesn't really matter that much for this situation because, as we've talked about, they didn't need to replace Kidd with somebody who could be a head coach in waiting. You know, Fizdale was considered a fantastic assistant in Miami under Spoelstra, as good as
so much
of a
reputation.
Yes, as good as it gets. And that's the job that he's taking with the Lakers. He's not going to be the head coach. Doesn't matter that he, you know, what he did or didn't do necessarily in Memphis or New York. I mean, not obviously certain things matter, but you know, his record there isn't what's important for what he'll be doing with the Lakers.
At the same time, though, I think it matters a lot that he's got that relationship with LeBron. You
know, absolutely.
It's always important whenever somebody joins a staff that you can have that type of credibility and buy-in, because if he is approved by LeBron, that means he's going to be approved by everybody else, including Anthony Davis. And I think it's really important to see if maybe he can, you know, forge that type of relationship with AD, because in theory, Frank Vogel is going to be a part of this staff, or Frank Vogel is going to be coaching this team for a while. He hopefully can have that same staff for a while. And AD is going to be here longer than LeBron. So the more coaches that you have that are good with players, you know, ultimately, I think the better off that you are. I mean, the one, I guess, sort of whatever Spanish for elephant in the room with this is his relationship with Marc Gasol was not good in Memphis.
No, it was actually bad.
Yes, it was.
Let's put a name on it, Andy. It was bad.
Well, it was feo. That's what it was. It was ugly.
Very ugly.
Very, very malo. You love all these Spanish words I'm throwing around, don't
really
you?
Really bringing in a very diverse listening audience.
Well, you know, I mean,
I'm sure our Spanish speaking listeners really appreciate communicating.
I don't want to bring everybody behind the curtain in a way that sounds like we're bragging, but this show's popping. I mean, this show has been, it's been building up in terms of audience. The YouTube channel's taken off. We appreciate it, by the way, the people that are subscribing, we're getting the viewership's going up. So we've got a lot more audiences and frankly, a lot more languages, Brian, to account for. So I'm trying to accommodate that.
No, that's good.
But his one season with David Fizdale, or one full season with him, Marc Gasol, was actually very good. He made the All-Star team, started shooting threes for the first time in his career with any volume, almost four a game at 39%. I think his stats were like 19-6-5. And Marc Gasol has actually said that David Fizdale helped make him a better player. They just did not get along, and there is a very wide and frankly believable narrative that Marc Gasol was very instrumental in getting him fired, although they reportedly patched it up.
Right, and that's here's the thing. Like, they seem by all reports to have moved on from that, patched it up, and but also the context to that situation where Gasol was the centerpiece of that team to this one, where Gasol is not the centerpiece of this team. You know, he's probably going to play one more year and is, you know, likely retire.
He's 51 years old.
He is. And so, you know, there's a reason they call him Abuelo on the team.
Nicely done.
You're welcome. It's a callback joke.
Well, it's also more audience.
Yeah. And so, but the flip side of that is Fizdale's not the head coach. And so, a couple people on Twitter commented about that, but it just doesn't matter that much because Gasol's not that important on this team, and Fizdale's not the head coach. The context matters here. Before we move on to the next thing, though, in fact, let's do this in the next segment. Let's talk about, we'll get to the Olympics thing, obviously, in Portland, but let's talk about the impact this could have on the Lakers. We've been looking for an offensive assistant. Is David Fizdale that guy? We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Michelob Ultra, and it's time for the Michelob Ultra moment this week. And I'm going to stay, Brian, with the theme of our conversation, and I'm going to say that it is the hiring of David Fizdale for all the reasons that we talked about. Good for the Lakers, good for LeBron. It makes sense for what they would do replacing Jason Kidd. But specifically to, Brian, the idea that David Fizdale gets to come back to LA, where he's from. He was a star point guard at Fremont High. We know from talking with different basketball players who grew up in LA, that is a major point of pride to represent. I imagine he grew up rooting for the Lakers. So it's just got to be a thrill for him. Also, Brian, looking up the Wikipedia page for Fremont High, a lot of famous folks came from there. Dr. Dre, jazz legend Don Cherry, California rep Henry Waxman, and it is an athlete factory, including Eric Davis, Ricky Bell, and get ready for this, Brian, Silent George Hendrick, starting right fielder for our 1982 World Series St. Louis Cardinals. That, Brian, brings us joy. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the only game.
Que un momento de la semana. I believe that's correct. What a moment of the week.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Un momento de
There's going to be a lot of joy and passion for the Fizdale family and frankly for LA. I think it's great.
And to everybody out there, I say lo siento.
Yes.
But anyway, all right. So, you know, we wanted, all of LA wanted a... I keep trying to think like how I can introduce these things in my incredibly terrible Spanish.
My wife is fluent. I really should have like prepared the bit a little bit better and had her write out something.
At the time we didn't realize we'd be doing it in Spanish. So,
but we should have, again, the way the podcast is growing and popping, we need to be proactive in recognizing our needs.
Well, people don't realize this. One of our previous shows was among the most popular sports podcasts in the Netherlands. So
I know.
We have gone international many times.
And you may recall that in Wednesday's show, Brian, I taught our audience that is not native German speakers how to say the bag.
Right, they're German. Tasche. They're Tasche. It's you can get all of the Lakers information that you need, and also it's like doing a Babbel course or a Rosetta Stone or
Duolingo.
You know, Duolingo. It's really, we are saving everyone out there money.
Yes.
So is Fizdale though the offensive mind that you think the Lakers need? Is he that guy? Is he not that guy? Is he close enough to that guy? What do you think?
You know, I don't know. He, like we talked about earlier, he had been credited for bringing some pace and space to Eric Spoelstra as part of the staff with
getting Spoelstra out of the idea of guys needing to be in specific positions, if you know, whatever that might be, really unlocking some of the potential of that roster.
Right. And you know, he did help make Marc Gasol into a bit more of a modern five, you know, as modern as Marc Gasol can be at his size and, you know, lumbering pace and all that, but he did make him a bit more of a modern five. But a lot of the type of changes that David Fizdale brought to Miami and that philosophy is so commonplace now, I don't know necessarily what that means for this team. But you know, I mean, it's always hard to know exactly how much of it will matter with a team that is so built around LeBron specifically. What I hope for is just that Fizdale can bring creativity around the edges, because it's not likely going to be him coming up with these revolutionary sets that Frank Vogel never would have come up with on his own.
Right.
But I'm hoping that it's just, you know, we talked about this early in the week, more creative ways that you can use Anthony Davis, different ways that you can find
more effective
shots,
more
like
effective
that.
Use in the pick and roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of these things are personnel based. I mean, some of this is like, you know, to make certain things work, to, you know, to unlock different sets, to unlock different movements and different actions, you need guys who can hit shots. So you need somebody who is an excellent back cutter, like whatever, you know, have that, those kinds of instincts. It's
the
really
Lakers have a few guys who are good with stuff like that.
They need to unlock those non-LeBron moments, certainly. But when those guys are on the floor, the offense is still going to be LeBron and AD, and using their gravity and their skill and creativity to be able to open things up for other people. Like you say, though, it'll be interesting to see if there are improvements on the margins with those things. And what impact he has, but there's also, you know, that communication becomes important. You know, assistants help with that, and so it's good. It is a good thing that, you know, he and LeBron have, you know, that strong relationship.
I was just going to say
mandatory.
If there's anybody, Brian, who at least in theory would be good at coming up with the best ways for guys to play off LeBron, it would be somebody who has the type of experience that Fizdale had,
right?
You know, the best ways to utilize Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and role players like Mike Miller, Shane Battier down.
That goes back to my point about personnel. I mean, part of the reason that, you know, to his credit, I guess he was, you know, part of that movement to get Spoelstra to open things up a little bit more and let more guys do more things. It's not all about like how fast do you go? Are you running up and down the floor or whatever, but to get out of, traditional patterns or whatever it might be. It helps when you have a bunch of really multi-talented, multifaceted players like LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, who can do a ton of different things. Lakers, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, he has certain flaws, how well he recognizes and passes out of double teams, but for a 7-footer is remarkably talented and versatile and can do a lot of stuff. So I'm excited at what they could do. Some quick news on LeBron, before we move to the next thing. There was a report today that LeBron, is kind of officially no longer going to participate in USA basketball. We knew he wasn't going to be on the Olympic team this year, as he famously said, he'll be, basically promoting his movie. So, you know, he's got a big game against the Goon Squad to worry about. I guess the surprising thing here is the idea that LeBron James not only could play on this Olympic team, would be like totally welcome on it and one of the dominant players on it, were he willing to go play at 36 years old with 11 billion finals trips and all. It's just another remarkable thing about LeBron.
Yeah, it's the idea that it's not crazy to put him with that type. I mean, it's crazy in the sense of just player safety and the Lakers' goals of trying to maximize LeBron's window with the team and have one more real legitimate shot, if not two more, however many more, at a championship. And reminder that today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Thank you. 2.6 carbs, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games a little moss this season.
This is good.
Thank you.
I hope this is joyful to our Spanish speaking.
You know
audience.
What? Joy?
Yeah.
It's the whole game.
It's the whole thing.
It is.
Let me ask you this question, though. You know, obviously, I think we both can agree it's a good thing that LeBron's not playing Team USA, needs to heal.
No business doing that whatsoever.
No. Good thing that Anthony Davis isn't playing for Team USA with the hamstring and all the stuff and needs to recover. We're all happy with that.
That would be a fireable offense for Anthony Davis to play in the games. Like that, that would be we're not going to cut your contract, you know, because you're Anthony Davis and we know what you mean to this team, but we are going to do our best to scare you in a very sternly worded email that you should not be playing. I mean, it would be absolutely irresponsible for Anthony Davis to participate with Team USA this year. It just is.
So let me ask you this question.
Sure.
Have we reached a point where, as a fan of a team, at least a team that has championship aspirations, I mean, if you're a star of the Orlando Magic, go play in as many international tournaments as you want. It doesn't matter. But if you're a fan of a team with genuine title possibilities,
Ross.
Right. I mean, do what you got to do. You know, Zach LaVine, play as many Olympic games as you want as long as you play in Chicago. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But if you're one of these other teams, do you actually want your stars playing in the Olympics? We all love our country and want to see the USA win and so on and so on and so on. But when push comes to shove, do you really want your stars playing in the Olympics?
As a team or as a fan?
As a fan.
Oh, God, no. I mean, look, I'm the wrong person to ask, Brian. You know, I don't care anyway. Like, I don't care about the Olympics. I never have cared about the Olympics. I likely never will, except for the sports where this is your one opportunity to do it. Like Olympic gymnastics. I'm not going to pretend that I keep up with the ins and outs of it, but I do recognize...
Locked On Gymnastics will not be hosted by Andy.
Well, I mean, I can tell people.
Locked on pummel horse. Can you imagine 30 minutes a day on the pommel horse?
Wow.
Of just straight pommel horse. And that is a niche podcast.
Yeah, that requires some good guests. That is a, you got to really know your proverbial shit to pull that off.
Yeah.
But I have never cared about sports in the Olympics that's not your main entry point to them. And for something like basketball, like as much as if you go out and win the gold for the country, that's great, whatever.
And people keep track, but it's right. Not the same as winning a title.
The NBA is the be all end all of professional basketball on this planet Earth. It just is. Like I'm not saying that from a Americanized, westernized point of view. It just
winning an NBA title does more for a player's legacy than winning Olympic gold. There's no question.
So it's not that moving to me. Like when Kobe helped that team win in 2008, that was really exciting.
I mean, but after the LeBron's Olympics, Andy?
Right, exactly. But what was exciting about that to me was mostly the game. Like the game itself and also the backstory of what Kobe had been through that summer. You know, that was the summer of the radio tour when he had demanded the trade. And there was a lot of negativity swirling around Kobe at that time. And, you know, both perception of him, but also kind of what he was dealing with in basketball.
Right.
And it was cool to see him at the center of that type of winning in a really amazing game against Spain. But the idea that it was that exciting to me because America got the gold, like, honestly, no, I didn't care. I mean, I don't care about it on those levels. And ultimately, I'm a league guy.
Right.
I'm a league guy.
Right. And I'll say this. Like, I agree with you. My answer is if I could choose, and I think with teams, if you injected all of them with truth serum, any team with a star on a contending team that has a chance to go, like, really win something, they're all would probably prefer they skip it.
Yeah.
Teams that, you know, with players who, you know, where the team's not that good and like this is one of some of the good press they can get, you know, Jeremy Grant, the Pistons are like, yes, go Jeremy Grant. But no, I think most contending teams would want their players to rest.
I imagine the Nets are not thrilled.
No, absolutely. With Durant. Absolutely.
I imagine they're not happy at all.
And I have the same basic feeling as a fan. But I will say this, I am not going to knock a guy who wants to go do it because the opportunity to go play for your country is something that every player who does it and goes to the Olympics, the opportunity to go to the Olympics, I mean, it's really cool. So if guys want to do it, I totally support the choice. I would just, as a fan, I'd be more than happy to let them stay home. All right, let's wrap things up by talking about this Portland press conference because I think it was indicative of Neil Olshey missing the point on a bunch of levels, but really a new wave of what matters in the NBA and how things need to get talked about and how teams need to adjust to it. We'll do that next. I want to let you know that Locked On Lakers is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Andy, I'm not a car guy. I think most people know that. And so when I go places, I got to fix something with the car. I need to ask questions about the car. I don't want to go into a place where they're going to be really pushing stuff, maybe selling me extra things, stuff that I don't think I need, but maybe could be convinced I'm spending extra money. They don't do that. RockAuto.com, you have everything that you need right there on the website. You got a computer with you at home. You got it in your pocket with your cell phone, whatever it is. You can go to Rock Auto, get reliably low prices, 20, 30, even 50% lower than chain stores or a new car dealership. And they got everything that you're going to need, whether it's for your daily drive or your classic, your truck, whatever it is. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. I think we can all agree, Andy, the introductory press conference for Chauncey Billups was a terrible moment for the Portland Trailblazers.
I mean, they were already dealing with a ton of controversy in terms of this hire because the attention that was being paid towards a 1997 accusation of sexual assault against Chauncey Billups during his rookie season when he was with the Boston Celtics. It was settled out of court a few years later and frankly, largely forgotten about.
Yeah. And but if you go back and you look at it, the details of that alleged incident are disturbing. And,
right.
You know, they deserve a reckoning and they deserve to be asked about. And what was,
well,
crazy.
And also, really quickly, I was, yeah, sure. was going to say that in terms of the controversy that came from this, it ended up ensnaring Damian Lillard,
yes.
who had been on record as saying that he wanted Chauncey Billups, and then he claimed to be unaware of this incident in Billups' past. And frankly, I believe him because I had completely forgotten if I even knew that this happened yep. at all. Most people, I think, were unaware of it, but he ended up getting very defensive about his perceived role in this. So again, there was a lot for the Blazers to try to do in order to fix the perception of this decision that they made. And let's just say they did work. Not do a lot of good fixing.
They needed to do some damage control with their fans and explain things to a segment of the fan base that was very put off by the hiring of Billups. And they needed to do some damage control with their star. What was surprising to me for a team, especially a team like the Blazers, who are not run by idiots, is how surprised and unprepared they seemed to have an honest and full accounting of the process. And look, Neil Olshey, it's been reported, you know, it's not just the Blazers saying it. There's information, like they did a background check. They hired a firm to do it. They went and, you know, the Blazers didn't ignore it, but when they were asked about it, when Neil Olshey was asked about this, he basically, it was Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report who asked Neil Olshey about it. He basically said, you're just gonna have to trust us. Like, this is sort of the information, how we did it, all that stuff, how they do it, it's proprietary. We can't, you're just gonna have to trust us. When Chauncey.
And there are details, by the way, for people who want to learn a little bit more from Jason Quick at The Athletic.
Yes.
In terms of what that investigation entailed. Mm-hmm. Like, it does sound like, assuming Quick's sourcing is accurate and he is one of the best in the industry when it comes to specifically the Blazers, that this was actually pretty intensive, but it doesn't seem intensive in ways that you wouldn't want to reveal. If anything, you would think that you would offer as much information as
correct.
Possible
and to
reassure
up to whatever point that you can't. And, right. and I think everybody understands there are certain things that you just can't say. But Chauncey was asked about that by Jason Quick. Chauncey made a statement in which he referenced it, the elephant in the room. He referenced it, said that it was something that he had learned from and grown, and it changed him as a person and all that. And Jason Quick followed up with a question of, okay, how? Not even in a combative way, but in a responsible, that's the natural follow-up question.
Yes, it is.
Chauncey seemed fully prepared to answer that question. If you watch the tape, you can see his mouth beginning to move to answer the question. And Blazers PR shut it down. Whether mm-hmm. and some people are suggesting even that it was like Neil Olshey sort of signal
yes.
to do it. But regardless.
I think it actually was.
It might have been.
Neil Olshey starts drinking from this bottle of water in a very demonstrative manner, then looking over in the direction of the PR rep, and you can hear her voice coming from the direction that Olshey is looking. And it felt like this incredibly obvious signaling that was just amateurish and clumsy.
I was surprised at how they seemed unprepared. If you are going to hire Chauncey Billups, you got to answer all the questions. See, I saw a couple of people on Twitter said, you know, how many times is he going to have to answer the set aside from that actually he hasn't had to answer it very much at all over the course of his career. Fine, whatever. In this particular case, you know, it like the answer is as many times as you have to in the frame of this press conference, because your fan base wants transparency, because what you're doing, it's not like hiring Chauncey 10 years ago or signing him or what it is. People care far more about these types of allegations, as they should, than they did 15 years ago or 20 years ago. And if you're going to be Neil Olshey, who seemed very dead set on hiring Billups from the beginning, you got to answer every question.
Well,
you got to
forget Brian,
open up the book.
Brian, forget the idea that you have to answer every question. You have to answer a question.
A question.
Because Jason Quick's question, that follow-up to Chauncey Billups, which, you know, his opening statement on this, you know, he sounded, I think, sincere, whatever. But, the, you know, this was Chauncey Billups in control of that situation. He's the one putting out that statement. And I mention this not to, again, try to undercut his sincerity or cast any type of doubt to it, describe motives.
In my mind, very little of this really has much to do with Chauncey.
Right. But just saying to this point, Chauncey Billups has not actually been asked a question about this at all. So the idea that you are not prepared to be answering questions on all this, it's a, even a step further. It's actually you are unwilling. At this point, they were unwilling to have Billups answer and talk about this incident that they know is the biggest sticking point to him being named this the head coach for the Blazers. Yep. And for very good reason, and I tweeted out afterwards, that moment, it was a bad look in terms of projecting organizational accountability, which should have been their number one goal in this thing. Like you're not going to satisfy people in terms of this. You're not going to satisfy everybody.
Not at
because
all.
I got asked a few times on Twitter, you know, what would have been a satisfactory answer? Like, how are you supposed to satisfy people? And I said the goal should not be the primary goal, satisfying people, because that's going to be impossible. The primary goal should be accountability. And as I said, this is a bad look in terms of projecting organizational accountability. But to whatever degree that you care about him in this situation, heavy-handed interference does Billups no favors whatsoever.
Absolutely.
So if the goal here was to protect him by shutting down literally the only question he was asked, they failed Billups miserably there.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, and you know, throughout the process, you know, failed to make life easier for Dame. They failed, like all of this stuff. Just and the arrogance of Neil Olshay, who we got along with just fine when he was in LA. Yeah. We had conversations with him. He was helpful to us at times. You know, he did interviews with us at a time when we were not necessarily the biggest names in LA. Not like now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
multilingual sensation.
International.
Yes.
But
grande deals.
What this is, you know, teams need to adjust. And this isn't, you know, woke culture and this and that, whatever. Like, we live in an interconnected world where information is out there, where, you know, the choices that you make as a business are out there and plain to see. And if you do things that are going to be controversial, you're going to have to answer for them. And I'm not, we talked about this before. Am I the person to say that Chauncey Billups should not be allowed to be the head coach of an NBA team? I am not. Don't think I would hire him for mine. I certainly wouldn't have hired Kidd. There are too many other qualified people out there who don't have these things in their background. But if you're going to make choices, whether it's somebody's past, whether it's who you hire about X, Y, or Z, the companies that you choose to have sponsorship deals with, the employment practices that you have inside your company, which is what a basketball team is, your fan base cares about more than just whether or not you win or lose. Some people only care about that. But generally speaking, now we live in a culture where people care about more than those things. They want the places that they spend their money and spend their energy to reflect the values that they have. And that can be difficult because you can have people spending their money with very different values. But that gets back to the accountability question that you had. Like, if you're going to do things, you have to be willing to explain them.
Nobody was well served in this thing, whether you're talking about the Blazers, whether you're talking about fans, whether you're talking about women sensitive to this issue. Nobody benefited from this press conference at all.
Absolutely. That was a disaster. And they're taking rightly a lot of crap for it. All right, that's about it. So we'll be back tomorrow. Reminder, Spotify Green Room this week, 11 a.m. Pacific.
Yes.
bumping it up an hour, based just because we need to. So again, 11 a.m. Pacific on Friday is Spotify Green Room. Please continue to tell your friends. Subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Really, you know, we're excited about what we can do with that channel, especially once it starts to really get going. And send us your questions at Kaminetsky Brothers@gmail.com.
In any language you want.
That's right. We'll have to use Google Translate if we have to. See everyone tomorrow.